Something's kind of been on my heart quite a bit lately, and that's in terms of being thankful. And the title tonight is Being Thankful Keeps Your Tank Full. And it really, really does. It's difficult when we think of some things because an awful lot of things don't go right, you know. So we have to be really careful. And God gives us some really good help here. And I just want to share that with us all because it strengthens us all. And as we are strengthened as a body, as a ministry, and if those that are listening over the internet, and they get strengthened in their homes and their families and their community, I mean, this God knows how to spread this thing. I mean, just absolutely wonderful. So I just wanted to remind us tonight that, and also for those that are listening on the internet, there is a little handout that will be posted with this, and it gives you all the scriptures and things so you don't have to worry about writing down so much. But a point that we want to make tonight is let thankfulness govern your thoughts. That's something that the Lord's been sharing me. Let thankfulness govern your thoughts. There's a little tendency that when we get something good, we go, oh, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Oh, I got a pay raise, thank you, Lord. Oh, I got a job, thank you, Lord. Oh, you know, I was healed, thank you, Lord. Oh, I got a car, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. When we get something, we say, oh, thank you, Lord. And then we go, oh, I can't believe this. And we go on, it's just like, wait a minute. We don't want to be like that. We don't want to be the spoiled children of the King, that you only have gratitude towards him and thoughtfulness toward him and thankfulness towards him when he does something for you. And I don't know about you, but when we get that crummy attitude, when we start into the little levels of complaining or disappointments and disgruntlements, very often God will just kind of hold some things back sometimes, not in punishment, but just, you know, you need a little attitude adjustment here. And sometimes we forget how much we have and how much God has done and all the good things. Just the fact that you're saved ought to keep you going the rest of your life with a smile. But the adversary's in there, the Adam nature's in there, the world is in there. You know, it's just an awful lot that comes against us many times. And God says, I know. I was there. I know. I love it. It's why, you know, Jesus and what's all this need. You know, God's not a faraway God. He came actually into the flesh. Otherwise, how could we ever understand him? I'm reminded of that story about the fellow that went and had this big fish tank. And, you know, he'd feed them, he'd keep the water the right, you know, amount of combinations and all the things that they need for a happy fish life. But he did everything for the fish. But every single time he came up to the tank, the fish would scatter. And you go, you think the little creeps would be grateful. But they couldn't because he was too big. They're just little baby fish. Here's this humongous thing that shows up in their sight. They scattered. And God says, I had to come in the form of a man. That's the only way I can relate to you. You can't even talk to me. I'm too big. And when even an angel of the Lord appeared on earth, people fell down. Oh, my God, what's this? He had to come in the form of man. That's why Jesus is the Godhead. He is the deity. He came. He can relate. He knows what it's like to be here, except that he was sinless. And he proved the point. In this human body, if you're full of the Spirit of God and walk only by the Spirit, then you'll be sinless, just like Jesus. Now, it's something that we struggle with, all of us, but it should be forward progress and not backward progress. Now, this spirit and thoughtful thankfulness governing our thoughts, it sounds crazy. Especially when we're in problematic situations. But I want to remind us of 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Wow. And it goes on a little more. I'll expound on that just a little bit later. What that was telling me was a thankful attitude actually keeps us in touch with God. I go, whoa, that's right. Whoa. The one I need all of my help from, I want to be really near. And if I'm complaining, then I'm in the devil's playground. You know, when I'm complaining, when I'm grumbling, when I'm doubting, when I'm fearful, when I'm angry, I've stepped out from God's umbrella. I've lost my salvation, but I stepped out from his umbrella. And all this rain comes on, and I go, what's happening? He says, come back under my umbrella. Come back under me. Come into my presence. And then you're going to have your answers. You're going to have your strength. And when you don't have answers, you're going to have confidence instead of the doubt that we tend to have when we don't get our answer. So this thankful mindset really keeps us in touch with God. And we're in His presence. There really isn't any room, never mind that you won't or not, but there isn't any room for grumbling or being angry with Him, because He is complete. And when you're there in His presence, you get this sense of, whoa, this sense of security, this sense of love, this sense of understanding. It just, I'm not talking about feelings now, because there's all sorts of positive thinking, feel good, kumbaya stuff out there. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about an actual encounter with the living God. You will not be fearful. You will not have the doubts and the complaints or anything. There's a purity, there's a cleanliness, there's a power and a strength there. And that's what we want. So this state of thankfulness that we're talking about, it actually safeguards you against the sins of complaints. Now, people don't like to hear that, but complaining is a sin. Oh, Lord, remind me. Yes. Dissatisfaction is a sin. Anger is a sin. These are broken responses to what goes on down here on the planet. And we don't realize it because we've practiced it so long. It's part of our psyche, part of our response, part of our knee-jerk reaction. And God says, in me, on your journey, you're going to learn to stay away from that. But by staying in His presence and having that attitude of gratitude, then that helps keep you away from these other lower levels. And when you get and develop, and it's a development, because we don't come like this. That Adam nature it's enmity to God. It doesn't match with Him. It doesn't go along. It doesn't understand God. Our natural nature that we were born with, not the one God made, it's the one that became inferior through the sin of Adam. That one is the one we inherited. That's why Jesus had to come, so we get our original inheritance back. Thank you, Lord. But when you have that attitude of gratitude developing and growing, now you're going to need to ask God for help. God, please help me to identify this. Help me to have it grow in my heart. Help me to know when I'm not in that attitude. Tap me on the shoulder. Hit me with a 2x4. Whatever you have to do, Lord. If you actually develop that attitude of gratitude, you're going to find, just like I have, that you start looking at things through a different prism. Wow. Not prison, prism. How you look at things is going to start changing. And in that, you and others are going to see that. What used to make you fearful doesn't anymore. It's still a problem, but it doesn't bring the same response because you're developing being in the presence of God with an attitude of gratitude. Thank Him for everything. If you only have two beans on your plate, thank Him. If you got a steak on your plate, thank Him. Don't have these comparative things. When you give me more, I'll be thankful. When I have what I want, I'll be thankful. When this gets fixed, I'll be thankful. No. Being thankful actually is something the adversary can't be. Being thankful is the territory of the Lord. You are actually drawn like a magnet to Him if you are thankful. Being grateful to God, it's sort of like being in the dark. You know, the world, the flesh, and the devil are darkness. God is light. I mean, we say these things with frequency. We read them, but we don't realize what they mean. Being grateful to God kind of turns a light on in your circumstance. It actually lets you see, gee, this isn't as bad as I thought, or it's even worse than I thought, but God is here. God will tell me what to do, or He'll minister to me through someone else. There will be an answer. God has already said in His scriptures, whatever besets you, He will make what? A way of escape. Oh, okay. We keep forgetting that, people. We keep saying, this is the end of the world. This is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. I can't believe this is going on. There is an end to that, but you've got to go with the Lord. Can you imagine if you have a problem or a challenge that's going on in your life, and God already knows the end result is going to be blessings, it's going to be enrichment, it's going to be better than you ever thought. Well, but you're going to have to go through all these changes to get there. But back here, God said, listen, it's all going to work out really well. You wouldn't do a thing. You'd sit there and say, okay, God says it's going to all work out. I don't have to do anything. No, you've got to change. You've got to change your stinking attitude. You've got to repent from sin. You have to confess your sins before God and those you've sinned against. I mean, there's a whole lot going on here. But you can start really trusting Him, and it starts with thankfulness. And I thought, wow, that's really true, Lord. And so I thought, well, how do you practice this kind of stuff? You know, I said, wow, there have been some times, like sometimes I'm driving, and people are kind of stupid drivers, you know? I mean, sometimes that happens. I don't want to be judgmental, so I work on not being judgmental. But sometimes they cut in front of you. And I love the ones that put on their right-hand turn signal, and they turn left right in front of you. You know, this kind of stuff goes on. And I started saying, God, thank you. I thank you for the opportunity to practice wisdom and forgiveness and mercy and not being judgmental. Wow. And then I've been sick. I mean, I'm an athletic person, and I have been out of commission for a year, putting on a couple of pounds. My feet are still hurting. I haven't been able to run. I can't do what I usually do. And I'm going, God, and I've been sick. This respiratory thing is getting me, the van accident. I mean, on and on and on. But I, all through it, something has changed in my head and my heart. I've been saying, God, thank you. I thank you, not for calamity. I thank you for an opportunity to seek you. I thank you for an opportunity to praise you, even though I don't see it fixed yet. I thank you for an opportunity to change from my crummy, selfish, stupid, spoiled little jerk self. Wow. Thank you, God. So don't, I'm not saying to be nuts here. Oh, I just lost my leg in an accident. Thank you, God. No, God, he's not saying be thankful because, be, looking at the calamity. He's saying, come to him thankful. Thank you, Lord. I don't know how, but this is going to be okay. And I'm going to praise you now, just like I have the answer down the line. I'm going to thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be humbled. Thank you for the opportunity to be made low. Thank you for the opportunity to be lacking. Wow. You got to be kidding me. No. Paul said he knew abundance and lack. How are you going to know either? All we want is the abundance. Easy to praise God then. We got to do it in the lack. And there's been many people. Our precious church is full of people who've had lack. Job changes and things going on in this crazy economy. But they're hanging on to the Lord. And they're good. They're doing all right. They're still alive. They still have what they need. Not just what they want. We have to go through periods of that when you can't have what you want. Then there's other periods you can have what you want in addition to what you need. God isn't upset with the rich man, and he's not upset with the poor man. And he doesn't make either one. I mean, a neurosurgeon is definitely going to make more money than I will ever make. Not because they're better, they're or more value to God. They just have skills I don't have, and they need to be remunerated appropriately for that. The less people that know how to do what you do, the more money you're going to make. If all you're going to do is dig a ditch, there's 100,000 people, even the disabled, some of them can do that. You're not going to make a whole lot of money. The type of decisions you make, the level of importance of decisions, you're going to be paid more. I mean, that's just life. So being rich isn't a problem with God. It's what you do with it. Being poor isn't a problem with God. It's what you do with it. So this attitude of gratitude is really so powerful and important. So instead of some scary monster in your closet, you can start seeing things clearly and become more aware of your many blessings. The tendency when something hurts and when someone's hurting you or you don't feel good about something, whether it's physical, spiritual, relational, doesn't make any difference what it is. When it hurts, it hurts. And it seems at that point, that's one thing that's going wrong. We automatically throw away the 500 that are really good. You know, it's, oh, gee, we just have such a tendency to do that. But when we share tonight, one of the things is, I'm not telling you something you don't know. We just need these good reminders all of the time. And don't think you don't need a reminder as a Christian. Don't say, I read the Bible once. I've read the Bible 10 times. There's still things I need to know, things I need to learn, but also things I need to do. That I just haven't gotten to yet because God has me on a training journey here. Till the day I die, I don't care. I have a doctorate in biblical studies. God doesn't care. That doesn't mean I know it all. That's just something that mankind can hang a hat on or something. We are learning ones till the day we die. So I don't want to just look at what went wrong. I don't want to throw away the many blessings, and we have a tendency to do that. So this renewal, this reminder is good. Anyone who's in any kind of, especially professional work, you've got to have continuing education credits. You've got to have certifications. You know, Mark is an expert in all of the horticultural things, and he has to go for licensure. And so he doesn't just do it once, and 30 years later, everything's the same. Guess what? Things have changed in 30 years. So you've got to keep updated. God wants us updated. He's not giving us new truths. He's just showing us how to apply them in a new way. Because there's old junk still in us. The proudful don't want to admit that. We need to come before God in a humble manner. God, there's definitely stuff I know that's still in there. It keeps creeping up. But I don't want it there, first of all, and I'm going to work really hard to fight it, and I'm going to just know that you're going to win this battle because the battle is yours and not mine. And that doesn't mean you sit down and don't enter the battle either. What that means is he's the general and you're the foot soldier. So the battle's yours, not mine, but you still got to get out there and fight and sometimes die. Now, thankfulness stops you from being inundated with these challenges that surround us. And some weeks, there aren't big challenges. Other weeks, it's like, you know, it never rains, but it pours. You know, the water heater floods your garage or something. A plumbing leaks in the house. A tree falls on your roof. You know, I mean, some of these things can happen all in the same week. I mean, you know, the car breaks down, you get another car, that car breaks down, you know, I mean, on. And I mean, just like, and then there's some weeks it's like, this is great, you know. It's not like you're waiting for the other shoe to fall, just that you look in the reality of life, some days are diamonds and some days are stone. Now, God is saying, I want you thankful no matter which one it is, because that in itself is going to keep you in my realm and in my presence, and that's where you're going to continue in gratitude if you're blessed. And you're going to continue in this wonderful hope and this wonderful love and this wonderful faith even in your worst circumstances. So, like I said, you still have the challenges and the sorrows, but how you view them and how you get through them is totally changed. And that changes for the better in the Lord. And but you ask, can I really do that? Who in the world is this God? And I went through and I just looked at some of the names of the Lord. And on your handouts, you have that, what his name is, and it's where it's located in the scriptures given there. I'm not going to go over those. For those who want to look at the handout, you can feel free to do that. But what does that name mean to you? What does that name mean to me? And I was looking over just the names, and then all of a sudden it started coming to me what this means. When it says he's the Messiah, that means he's your Savior. When it says that he's the bread of life, that means he's your sustenance. See, these are word pictures that God gave us. There's meaning to everything God called himself in Jesus. When it says that God is from above, that means he's superior. Hello? We're not. We're made lower than the angels, but higher than the animals. He's the eternal one. That means that's the one, that's a stand you can take. That is a forever. What's the thing that you always say, Mark? You have to be careful what you stand for or fall.
What you stand for limits what you fall for.
Knowing what you stand for limits what you fall for. Well, God's eternal. You stand for him. This is forever. He's the light of the world. And what it means to you is sight. You can actually see in the light. You can't see in the darkness. The scriptures and fellowship with those that love the Lord. That's important to be around those things. Because that's the light. Be in the presence of God. He's often called the door. And the Lord showed me that was selection. You get to choose which door you go through. It's sort of like, you know, the narrow road and the wide road. There's choices on everything. God says blessings and curses. There's so much that we get to choose. He is the door. You can make a selection. I remember thinking of an old fable, and I forget what the name of it was, but the prince had to choose. There were three doors. One had a princess behind it, and one had a lion, and one had a tiger or something. And he had to choose. And the whole little story goes on, and it says, so he put his hand on door number two, and it leaves it there. You don't know which one he got, but he's going to get one of them. But the same thing, the door. He is a selection that we can make. Except with the Lord, it's not a guess. He has labeled the door. It is called Jesus. He's called the Good Shepherd. That means he's your shepherd. Now, some years ago, we did a wonderful series on the shepherd in The Lord is My Shepherd. And we talked about sheep and what kind of animals they are and why they need a shepherd and why God chose sheep and shepherd as one of the samples, some of the parables and the things that he spoke about. He's also called the resurrection and the life. That is your shield against the finality of death and hell. He's the true vine. And what I saw was like a sap coming out from the vine. It was a sweetness. It was like sugar sap. He's just sweetness. First and last. Boy, talk about security. Beginning and the end. And he's the way, the truth, and the life. And that is solid ground. So those are very important things. Now, I know we're kind of going through them. You know, I'm not dwelling on each and every one. That's for you to do. Take and savor this. Look at every one of those words. Look at those scriptures. Go back and look them up. Well, I don't have time. Golly. God says to tithe our treasures. I encourage us to tithe our time. It's 160 hours in a week. Do you give 16 hours a week to the Lord?
We don't give 16 hours a week to the Lord.
Well, you can. You know, a little time in the morning, a little time in the afternoon, a little time in the evening. Go over this stuff. Use this. You don't have to do this all in one day. Take this and use this information. Use these names. Use these scriptures. Use what it means to you as a devotional for the next 4 weeks or something. I don't know. It's not something you have to go home and do tonight. This is something you can save or something you can do. Now, how do we become thankful then? There are some psalms that give us some great, great directions. In Psalm 9, it says to sing praises to the Lord. That's one of the best ways to be practicing thankfulness. Sing praises. God doesn't care what your voice is. Get some of that music cranked up. Those things that glorify God and speak to Him. I love that song. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. And all the things that just extol the Lord. When things go really bad, it's not a false covering you're doing. It's not a positive thinking garbage. God, if God has said it, it is real and true. God, everything is wrong right now. Everything is hurting. Everything is, I'm being ripped off. This is so wrong what's happening to me. I don't even know how to handle it. But I'm going to thank you, God. I'm going to thank you for the remedy. I'm going to thank you for the wisdom. I'm going to thank you for the restoration. Wow. Just by doing that and meaning it. And even if you don't mean it, just start saying it because eventually you're going to mean it. Just saying that and meaning it, you have just been drawn even closer to the Lord than you were before. It's very, very powerful. In Psalm, a lot of these are Psalm references. The Psalms are glorious in terms of their praises. Psalm 33, verse 2, it says, praise the, I'm just giving you just a small glimpse of it. Praise the Lord with the harp and stringed instruments. Meaning, make music unto Him. Not only sing, make music unto Him. Sometimes I'll be driving along and there'll be some Christian music. Now, you know, I listen to country western now and then. I listen to the news. I mean, I'm not just sitting around. I mean, you know, I'm just saying, you're going to listen. I encourage you, listen to a lot of good Christian music. And I'll be tapping my, I tend to like drums and stuff like that and acoustic stuff. And, you know, so I'm tapping and I'm making noise with my foot and my hands and I'm slapping and tapping. Sometimes I'll be sitting at a red light or something like that and I'll just be going on my arms. I'll be going, you know, the people, what the heck? I don't care. I'm not doing it to them. I'm doing it to God. I'm enjoying and basking in His presence and being thankful unto Him. It says in Isaiah 42:12, give glory to God. Whoa. Yes, God, you're glorious. You are far above everything. You have made things well. It's mankind that's messed it up. You are good. You are wonderful. You are pure. You are great. Boy, I tell you, this, you start getting refreshed. I'm telling you, it's just like doing the lawn and coming in full of dirt and taking a clean shower. Just as refreshing as that is, it is to do this. Sing out praises. Make music unto the Lord. And just give Him the glory that keeps you, that teaches you, that brings you, that helps to develop that attitude of thankfulness in there. In Ephesians 5:19-20, it says, always give thanks. And in Psalm 100, verse 4, it says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. That's what He's talking about. Into His presence with thanksgiving. And I want to finish up with 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In the King James Version, it says it so powerfully. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I just wanted to remind us, it says everything. You can underline that, circle it, star it. In everything give thanks. And it says it's the will of God, and it's not just a period there. It's the will of God where? In Christ Jesus. Not through Buddha or Mohammed or whatever thing is out there. He clarifies everything He says. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And then I love the last of that verse. It says, concerning you. So as each one reads it, for the thousands of years after this was written, concerning you, the word you is there. God is speaking to you. He's speaking to me. When I read it, it's a you. When you read it, it's a you. Now, those pronouns are hard to teach young people because they often will speak me want to, because they say, who, that's me, because your parents will say, this is for me, this is for you, and they'll get that mixed up. They'll call you me and them you. It's so sweet. But God knows who he's talking to, and we're reading it in English. So he does this to anyone, no matter what they're reading it. He's talking to you. So it comes down to practice, practice, practice. It's an over and over again thing, thankfulness. And I think of some of the things that some of our people have gone through here. We have a wonderful, close-knit, it's because of a smaller church, so we have a wonderful, close-knit family. And we've been here for the blessings, and we've been here for the tragedies, and we've been here for the hardships and the bumps in the road. And there's been God leading and guiding and directing. If you've had something fixed in your life, you better be grateful, not to a ministry or to people, even though God will use that and use you. You need to be grateful to God. He had the good end in mind. And if we just get all funky and start doing our thing, this hurts, I'm done, I'm out of here, boop, boop, boop. No! Hang in there with the Lord. It takes practice. And the more you practice this thankfulness, it really is going to fill you. It's going to give you what you've been lacking for so long. It fills me. If it's going to do it to me, it's going to do it to you. This isn't a certain people that it applies to. This is everyone. This is open to everyone in Christ Jesus. So what you put into your tank affects how far you can go. So get a tank full of the Lord and always be thankful. God bless you. Meditate on those things and really take that before the Lord.